morning, everyone.
Sorry we're getting started a little bit late. I also have to apologize in advance. We're going to have to end the shiur a little bit early today. I have a very important appointment with the first graders of Beis Yaakov who are coming to me, Baruch Hashem, at 10:15. So I apologize in advance, but I figured the women of wit will forgive the future women of wit for infringing on their time a little bit. Okay, number one. So we're continuing still in Kapitel Tes Vav. Mizmor leDavid Hashem yagor biohalecha miyishkon b'har kodshecha. So so far again, continuing in our theme, David HaMelech trying to answer for us, ultimately, how does one go ahead and live successfully in this world, the Ohel, as well as reside eternally successfully in the world to come? So we've covered already Holich Tamim, Poel Tzedek, Dover Emes Bilvavo was last week. So this week we come to Lo Ragol Al Lishono. So literally translated, he did not slander with his tongue. Okay, so what does this mean? So take a look at number two. So the Radak, in his commentary on this Mishnah, on this Kapitel of Tehillim, looks at this a little bit more in a holistic fashion. He says, Lo Ragol Al Lishono, Bazeh HaPasuk, Amar Mitzvos Lo Saaseh, Beloshon Ubenaseh. So first of all, before we look at the Radak, here's what's interesting. Meaning, if you go back to number one for just a moment and contrast the Pasuk in Beis versus the Pasuk in Gimel, so what's the immediate contrast? What's the common denominator between Holich Tamim, Poel Tzedek, Dover Emes Bilvavo? They're all what? They're all positive actions, right? They're all positive aspects, positive traits. So says the Radak, if you contrast that with Pasuk Gimel, Lo Ragal Alishono, Lo Asal Re'ehu Ra'ah, V'cherpa Lo Nasa Al Krovo, even though we haven't defined any of these terms yet, we understand the common denominator is that they are all negative things from which one is supposed to abstain and refrain. So therefore, says the Radak, Bazeh HaPasuk, in this particular Pasuk, Amar Mitzos Lo Saaseh, Belashon Ubenaseh. David HaMelech here is outlining the things that we are not supposed to do, both things that we should not do verbally, as well as things that we should not do through our actions. Aval b'leiv lo hayatzarech lahaskir ki kvar amar v'dover emes bilvavo v'im machshavosav ames v'tzedek. Okay, so he says v'amar lo ragol alishono v'lo amar shar mitzos lo sase shehin b'loshon kimo lo sana b'reyacha elokim lo sekaleo v'hadomin lohen. Ki amar osa shi emes v'choshekin ha'achiros. So the Radak says something very interesting. What does lo ragal alishono actually mean? What does it mean he does not slander with his tongue? It means a person does not abuse their speech. Now, what does that mean, don't abuse their speech? So you fill in the blank. All of the negative things that a person can potentially do with their speech, the individual does not do. So according to the Radak, lo ragal alishono doesn't refer to one specific thing, but rather it refers to the general category of, we'll call it, abuse of speech. All right, we'll see some specific examples, whether it's Lashon Hara, false testifying, negative, harming someone, verbal, whatever it might be. Lo ragal alishono, David HaMelech is making an expansive statement, does not abuse their power of speech through negative verbal activity. He goes on, he says, Vadomlan, ki amar osa shi emes vechoshkin acheros, ki arechilos, afa pi shi emes, yatzara godomimenu, ulefichach amar vedover emes bilvavo, ki a emes shi ra lo yidaber via arechilos. See, and okay, so we'll leave out the rechilos for a little bit because we're going to come back to that more specifically later. But first approach of lo ragal alashono, according to the Radak, is David HaMelech is creating a contrast. In Pasuk Beis, David HaMelech speaks out all the positive things that one is supposed to do. In Pasuk Gimel, all of the negative things that one is supposed to avoid. But instead of David HaMelech is not going to go through every single negative thing that you're supposed to avoid. So instead, he speaks in general categories. Lo ragal alashono refers to negative uses of one's speech. Okay, that's the Radak. The Ibn Ezra takes a little bit of a different approach. The Ibn Ezra writes, Lo ragal alashono, kimo v'yiragel ba'avadecha v'hatam ligalos hamistarin kederech hamiraglin. So first of all, what's interesting is, how would you literally translate Lo ragal alashono? How would you literally translate that phrase? right? So the word ragal is very strange, right? Because first of all, we'll talk about the tense in a little bit, and also the translation over here is slander. But the truth is, the real etymology, right? The shorish of resh gimel lamid is what, right? It's foot. So of course, the Radak says, well, the word that's most associated with that are miraglim, right? Miraglim. So what's the job of miraglim? So we translate that as spies as well. But the truth is, the real definition of miraglim is what, right? Probably the better translation would be scouts. Scouts, right? L'ragel es ha'aretz means people you sent in on reconnaissance, right? People you, right? What was the point? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu send miraglim? What was the point? Right? To check, why? Right? Because remember, as much as they didn't need to, the way that Moshe Rabbeinu justified it is because the way you understood the request was, look, we're going in for a military operation. Before you go into a military operation, you want to do a little bit of reconnaissance. You want to understand who is your enemy. Right? Who is your enemy? And that's why if you look at the whole list of Moshe Rabbeinu that he asked the spies, or he asked them to look out for, are they living in walled cities, unwalled cities? Are they strong? Are they weak? Are there water sources? You have to scout out the land in order to know how to go ahead and launch a proper military strike. So miraglim are people who go in for the purpose of what? Scouting, right? Finding out truthful information. Their goal is to expose the truths about the land. Therefore, says the Eben Ezra, David HaMelech, there's one thing we know for sure, is he chooses his words very carefully. So the Eben Ezra says to the Radak, if David HaMelech wanted to go ahead and just simply say, don't abuse your power of speech, there are many different words or many different phrases that he could have used for that. Why does David HaMelech go out of his way to use the word liragel? So therefore, says the Eben Ezra, what is lo ragal alishono? Legalos hamistarim. Ragal alishono means someone who reveals secrets. Someone who reveals secrets. Now the truth is, we know that there is no greater relationship trespass than what? Than revealing secrets. When someone tells you something in confidence, right? When someone bears their soul to you in confidence, there is an expectation that you are going to honor that confidence. If chas v'shalom you don't, the harm and the hurt that you visit upon that individual that put their trust on you is sometimes immeasurable. So remember, we always go back to the context. If you remember again, what is it now? 6 shiurim ago, when we started this kapitel. So why did David HaMelech compose this kapitel? What caused David HaMelech to do this? Remember again the Yerushalmi? Excellent. Because Bein Adam L'Chaveiro was lacking. The Yerushalmi points out that what they couldn't figure out was David HaMelech, when they were going out to war, they were suffering casualties. Now usually when you're going out and you're fighting the wars of God, the expectation is not only will you be successful in your result, but casualties won't really be an issue as well. If you're fighting God's wars, God will take care of you. So Yerushalmi says David HaMelech is trying to understand what's happening over here, and he realized that there was an interpersonal breakdown within his community. People were behaviorally pious, but they were treating each other terribly. Therefore David HaMelech composes this kapitel to address the ills of his contemporary society. We are weak in our Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, and therefore we must bolster ourselves. And therefore he gives the plan, he gives the framework, he gives the plan to go ahead and bolster oneself Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. So therefore again, if you look at it in this context, it says the Eben Ezra, what's happening over here? People are not keeping each other's trust. People are not keeping each other's confidence. You know, it's interesting because we live in a society that is all about exposing secrets, right? We live in a society where, you know, if you want to sell your paper, you want to sell anything, it's all about, right? What's the greatest chat? You know, when you get some public official who doesn't realize that his microphone is on, right? That's happened with our president, right? If he doesn't realize that his microphone is on, oh, that's the best chat. What about the fact that the person was having a conversation in confidence? What about the notion of just respecting people's privacy? So the truth is, privacy is something that the world is slowly trying to chip away at. So David HaMelech says, but the ability to confide in another is one of the most important pillars of human relationships. Right? What makes relationships, remember, we're all very weary of people who we know have loose lips. right? We're careful what we say around them. We're careful how we say it around them. And it's a very disconcerting feeling, because to always be on guard, knowing that someone is going to go ahead and, you know, to use the Latin, you know, be a yenta, right? And go ahead and spread everything everywhere is very unsettling. So David HaMelech says, if we're going to go ahead and build our interpersonal relationships, a person has to make sure, lo ragal alishono, don't be a meragil, don't be a spy, don't share the secrets that others trust with you. So that's the Eben Ezra. The Malbim comes along in number 4, and the Malbim has a different approach. The Malbim writes, lo ba'asher mit, listen to how profound this Malbim is. Uba'asher miteva ha'adam lidrosh ginus chaveiro. Now, this is a fascinating statement, right? Ba'asher miteva adam means what? It's the nature of man. Lidrosh ginus chaveiro. To find fault in others. It is the nature of man to find, now why? Fantastic, why is it the nature now? You're all nush and sidkanios, so no one here, but everybody has a friend, right, who's a person who tries to find, why? Oh, see, here's what's interesting. It actually comes, I think it comes from a good place. Meaning, people don't look to find fault in others because I'm mean, or I'm nasty, or I'm mean-spirited. It's because everyone, people have a natural desire for greatness. We all want to be great. What's the problem with, and great, by the way, is relative. Great is personal. Great is different for each of us. What's the problem or the challenge with becoming great? Right? So first, it could be someone else's great or good. Even before that, what's the fundamental problem, challenge of becoming great? I know, one knows. You're all great. Baruch Hashem, you've all reached it.
Yeah, right.
What's the problem? We all have chasronos, good. Okay, comparison. Simpler. What is the greatest challenge to becoming great in life? Takes a lot of work. Right? The fundamental problem is, it's an incredible amount of work. And it's not just work over a day, it's a lifetime of work. And sometimes when you do the work, you don't immediately see the results. And sometimes when you do the work, you find that I'm not really doing the right work. I have to do different kind of work. It's except that that's the greatest obstacle to becoming great is not that greatness is not within reach. It's not that it's not attainable. It's that the amount of work that it takes is ridiculous. It's a, yes. Why not?
Aren't we supposed to, I'm going to be a good person, I'm going to do the right things, but...
No, chas v'shalom. Never settle for good. Never, ever. Good is the enemy of great. No, never settle for good. I will tell you the one thing, we don't shoot for perfection, right? Because the perfect is the enemy of the excellent, which is the enemy of the good, right? Ultimately, but no, we never settle for good. We never settle for good. Because good is mediocre. Good is okay. Good is average. Good is average. That's chashom, never what we set our goals on. We set our sights on excellent. But the problem just is that excellent, and by the way, obviously we're not defining these terms, what this means, how you know you reached it, what it means for each of us, that's a much deeper discussion. But the idea ultimately is that everyone has this natural desire for greatness. Problem is, once I realize how much work it is, there's a much easier way. There's a quick fix for greatness, and that's what? Knocking the person next to me down. Because by definition, if the person next to me has just been relegated to a lower rung, then by definition, even though I haven't moved at all, now I feel greater in relation to that individual. You know, there's a beautiful ma'aseh with the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov once saw two boys fighting. And he saw one boy was literally pushing the other boy to the ground. So the Baal Shem Tov came over and he said to the boys, he said to the more aggressive one, what's the problem? So the boy who was the dominant fighter said, well, he told me that he was taller than me. So I was going to show him that he's not tall. I pushed him down to the ground. Now he sees he's shorter. So the Baal Shem Tov said to the little boy, he said, I have a better idea. He said, if you want to show that you're taller, stand up on a chair and show him that you're even bigger than him. The Musa Haskell, of course, of the story of the Baal Shem Tov, was that, okay, sure, you could push someone down, and therefore, yes, you are taller, or you could climb a chair, you could climb a ladder, become a little bit greater, actually actualize your own personal greatness, then you don't have to throw someone else down. So the Malbim says over here, Ba'asher miteva ha'adam lidrosh kinus chaveiro. Now, when the Malbim says teva, this is very important. Teva means what? Nature, which means, I think it's a very important yisod. You know, sometimes we are ashamed when we feel certain ways. But sometimes you have to realize that it's natural to feel certain ways, but it's our job to transcend and to overcome it. So says the Malbim, Teva ha'adam is to see the faults in people. That is the teva, that's the nature. Now, that doesn't allow us, therefore, to continue in that, but it tells us that it's natural to feel that way, and now it's our avoda to overcome it. So teva adam midrash pginus chaveiro, ulahagia lo ra, ra, mitzad midas hakavod, umidas hakina. And it is natural to what? It is natural to feel badly about a person when we see them succeed and when we see them have some additional level of kavod that we ourselves have not been zocha to have. So first of all, this is an incredible Malbim, because right, the Malbim is affirming the fact that yes, maybe sometimes it's natural to feel jealous or to feel negative when someone else succeeds in a way that we have not. Now, if the Malbim would end here, that's one thing, but the Malbim doesn't end here. It could be natural to feel, you know, there's a klal gadol, that anything the Torah tells you you're not allowed to do, by definition, HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes that what? We have a natural desire to do it. So meaning, if the Torah says, Lo sisna sachicha bilvavecha, don't hate your fellow Jew, it means what? Right? That it's natural to have feelings of animosity towards another individual. If the Torah has to command me via hafterecha kamocha, then what? Then what? It means that it's not necessarily the natural state to love someone, like, and I have to work on it. Torah tells me, lo sachmot, don't covet, whatever that coveting is. It means that coveting what my fellow has is the natural state of the human condition. The beautiful part about our Torah HaKedosha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that, yes, I may have hardwired you a certain way, but I also want you to see that you could transcend it. I want you to see that you can become better than your natural human tendencies or proclivities. I want to show you that you could transcend the norms of basic patterns of human behavior. So just put, that's all the Malbim is saying over here. So it's not like the Malbim thinks that we're all Rishoyim. What the Malbim is just saying is, what's human nature? Human nature is that we see the deficiencies in other people. Human nature is that sometimes we feel jealous or we feel bad when ultimately we see others succeed. He says, Amar, so David HaMelech says, okay, now that we have these natural human behaviors, now that we know about all these different tendencies, Amar, Shelo Ragala Lishono. So what does David HaMelech say? Rotzel Omar, Lo Yidaber Mimenu Be'inyon Shemito Haloshon, Yihya Alov Eze Rechilos. So the Malbim does something very interesting. He says, but most people, even if they want to build themselves up by pushing someone else down, so they're not going to do so in a frontal fashion. Instead, what they'll do is how? Like a little bit of a roundabout fashion. I'll say something that maybe at face value does not look explicitly negative, but then what? You know, if you look at the Rashi on it a little bit, I realize that the speaker is probably inferring something a little bit more sinister. So lo ragal alishono, you know, and the truth is, it actually ties in very beautifully to the Ibn Ezra as well. That, you know, the Ibn Ezra understood ragal ultimately was miraglim. You know, is this like, so what, if you go back for a second, what did the miraglim do? Did the miraglim say lashon hara ba'aretz Yisrael? Right? So the truth is, interestingly enough, until we get to that point, right, until they inject their own, you know, commentary on it, they gave facts. The people are very strong, right? We were like grasshoppers, we were nothing. So even before we get to their commentary, what they said was factually correct. But it was also understood that the way they were presenting the facts was done in an effort to go ahead and show that this land is inconquerable. We can't do anything. And when they add in their commentary, FS, but, we can't do it, then that just seals the deal. So Laura Galushon says the Malbim is, be careful. You know what, everything in life, we've seen this concept over and over. Self-awareness is one of the most important things in Judaism. To realize, what's really driving me? What's really ticking? What really makes me say the things that I say? So Laura Galushon is, yeah, you could say something that is factually accurate, but why are you saying it? Are you saying it to point out the deficiencies in another? Are you saying it to knock down another? Are you saying it because you're jealous of another? But it's the truth. There are many things that are the truth. It doesn't make them correct, right? Something could be factually true, but it's still ultimately the wrong thing to say. And he goes ahead, he says, for example, this is the din in Rechilus. See, he actually quotes the Gemara, if you look at number 5, so the Gemara actually says this, Heichi Dami Lishna Bisha. What is an example? Lishna Bisha literally means, Lishna is language, Bisha is Aramaic for bad. What is an example of bad language of, well, specifically Lashon Hara, Rechilus, Rava Amar, Kigon da Amar Ika Nura Be Planya. So the Gemara is something very interesting. What's an example? Is, for example, if you were to say, well, the light is always on in Reuven's house. What's going on? The light is always on in Reuven's house. Okay, Amar Le Abaye, my Kavid, what does that mean? What's wrong with saying the light's always on in Reuven's house? Gili Milsa Ba'amahu, it's just innocuous information. Ella demafik belishna bisha. The Amar hecha mishtachech o nora. Ella beplanya diika bisra recovery. So, meaning, if you say it, if somebody asks, well, where can I find some oil from my lamp? Oh, you can find it in Reuven's house because he always has oil burning, and in his house there's always plenty of things. The Gemara gives a couple of different examples. The point is, you're using it to say there's always the oil. I'm sorry. The lamp in Reuven's home is always burning. Is the way that you're alluding to the fact that Reuven is just drowning in resources. He's got plenty of money, plenty of stuff. He's always cooking. He's always baking. The light's always on. There's always activity. So it's a way that you're showing that Reuven is exceptionally wealthy. So again, you could look at these statements. You could say, but by themselves they're innocuous. By themselves they don't mean anything. So the truth is, what the Malbim is saying is everything depends on the intent of the speaker. Lo ragal alishono. Don't build yourself up by knocking anyone down. And don't fool yourself by saying that ultimately, well, it's not Lashon Hara. The truth is, something doesn't have to conform to the technical framework of Lashon Hara in order to be an appropriate speech. If at the end of the day, you know that you're speaking about another because you're jealous, because ultimately you're trying to find their Achilles heel, because you're trying to point out that you're really great, but instead of building yourself up, you're trying to knock someone down, that's called Lo Ragal Alishono. So David HaMelech over here is trying to inspire people. Yes, aspire for greatness, not good. Try to be great. But don't find your greatness by knocking someone else down. Find your greatness by actualizing your own kohos and abilities. Take a look at number 6. So interestingly enough, along these same lines, Rav Hirsch, in his commentary on this capital, the truth is you could actually skip a little bit. Well, actually, don't skip. I'm sorry. He says, Lo Ragal, Rav Hirsch writes, we're going to skip in the middle. He says, here are some of the most outstanding features of a life that would be in conflict with the requirements set by the sanctuary of the law. The psalmist has selected the sphere of interpersonal relationships, firstly, because they are easily recognizable, and secondly, in order to refute the erroneous concept of those who would divide life's duty into two separate spheres, i.e., duties toward God and duties towards one's fellow men. Those who labor under the delusion think that only the fulfillment of our duties towards God has any importance in the house of the Lord, while he has little or at least less interest in human relationships upon the marketplace of everyday life. So this fits in very beautifully also with the Yerushalmi, that David HaMelech is speaking to. Who is he speaking to? Who is his audience over here? His audience is a people, is a nation that are behaviorally pious, but are interpersonally bankrupt. right? Individuals who are doing all the mitzvos, but with their being adam lechavero, simply are not, they're not living up to what the expectations are. So therefore, what David HaMelech is trying to do in this capital, he's trying to show what? He's trying to show that you can't come before God thinking that as long as your bein adam lemakom is in order, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will overlook your bein adam lechavero. God only cares about my relationship with Him, but He doesn't really care about how I treat others. Skip down to the third paragraph there, Alushono. See, he writes, if you skip down a couple of lines in that also, it's the paragraph that it's the sentence that begins, Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is not mere slander, but denotes also the retelling of given facts, which are indeed true, but can become disadvantageous or unpleasant to the person concerned if any are broadcast. Lo nasa, lo asa, lo rago are all verbs in the past tense, which characterize even more strikingly the inconsistent behavior of so many thoughtless worshippers in the house of the Lord. They pay little attention to the demands placed upon them by the law, of which this sanctuary is the permanent abode. They bear slander, do evil, or at least countenance it, up to the very moment they reach the threshold of the house of God, and in this spirit they enter into it to worship. In contrast to this type of person, it is said here of the man who acts in accordance with God's will, as expressed in a sanctuary, he has not borne slander upon his tongue, or done evil to his fellow, or listened quietly while an aspersion was cast upon his neighbor. So what is Rav Hirsch saying? This is quite fascinating. Rav Hirsch says that, what is David HaMelech asking in this capital? Mizmor LeDavid Hashem, Miagor Be'alach Miyishkon Bahar Kodshecha. So unlike us who have been taking the approach of the Mefarshim, understand that the Ohel refers to this world, and the Har, the mountain, refers to the world to come. Rav Hirsch understands them as being synonymous phrases that refer to general relationship with God. How does one have a relationship with God? So Holech Tamim, Po'al Tzedek, Dover Emes Bilvavo, so could all refer to certain aspects of man's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But says Rav Hirsch, what David HaMelech is coming to counter is a widely held misconception, which is that all that matters in your relationship with God is how you act towards God. That as long as your bin Adam Lamakom is in place, the rest is gravy. Comes on David HaMelech and says, no. Lo ragal alishono. A person can't bear slander. Lo asal, I'm just going to read the whole phrase. Lo asal re'eru chepa. He didn't do anything wrong. No, he didn't visit any kind of cherpa, any kind of, just use the English over here. Bear his neighbor no harm. V'cherpa lo nasa akravo. He did not take reproach upon his kinsman. And here's what it says, as I mentioned before, these are all past tense. Why are they past tense? Because Rav Hirsch says, you know what happens in life? People approach the Har, people approach the Ohel, people come into the Beis HaMikdash, or they come into the Beis HaKnesses, and the truth is, they're pretty proud of the relationship that they have forged with God. Right? After all, I'm a Holech Tamim, I'm a Po'el Tzedek, I'm a Dover Emes Bilvavol. But what they don't realize is that when I approach the doors of the Har, I approach the doors of the Ohel, I approach the doors of the Shul, I approach the doors of the Beis HaMikdash, and I want to come converse with God, look at all the baggage I have with me. Look at what I've done to all of the people in my life. Look at how negative all of my interpersonal conduct. And says David HaMelech, understand, past tense, you've done that, that is going to follow you. When you come to rendezvous with God at the Har, that is going to come with you. When you come to rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Ohel, what you have done to the people around you will ultimately follow you when you come to connect with the Ribono Shel Olam. And what comes out is something so profound. The reason why David HaMelech puts it in past tense essentially is that if you go ahead and you show up to rendezvous, to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you are filled with this negative interpersonal baggage, don't expect a relationship. Don't expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have a relationship with you if you cannot forge meaningful relationships with others. I'm not doing anything right now. Well, what's the interpersonal baggage that you are carrying with you? The truth is, this idea by itself is not a novel. It's not a novel idea. We've spoken about this concept many times. The idea of Tovel v'Sheretz Biyado, the idea that holiness could really only be accomplished if man first purges himself of the negative influences in life. Otherwise, like the Gemara's phraseology, if a person goes to the mikvah, right? They want to purify themselves, but it happens to be I'm holding a dead rodent in my hand. Right? So a dead rodent, which is a source of impurity, you can go to the mikveh as many times as you want, but if the dead rodent is there, the mikveh is not going to have any kind of effect. So what David HaMelech is saying over here is, if you show up to the har, if you show up to the mountain, if you show up, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm here, I love you, I want to be with you, and you're carrying with you all of the baggage of negative interpersonal relationships, then says David HaMelech, it's a no-go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to respond to you. And that's, but David HaMelech phrases it in the positive. Mizmor David, Miyagur Bo'alech, Miyushkon Bahar Kotcha. Well, yes, you have to have your Ben Adam Lamakom affairs in order, right? Holich Tamim Paul Tzedek Dover MS Bilvavo, Lo Ragala Lishono, Lo Asalra Eucherpa, right? So only if I haven't done these things, or if I have done these things, I've fixed the damage. Then, once you come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you could sojourn in his tent. Then you could live on his mountain. And the truth is, it's an interesting thing. You know, this is just an aside, a quick aside. Things are different, I think, in now, but you know, sometimes we place such an emphasis on the Bein Adam Lamakom and place less of an emphasis on the Bein Adam Lachavero. So you ever wonder to you, it's like, where did that come from? Where did that come? It's not like we, like the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation didn't invent V'yachdo Echa Kamocha, right? The Chafetz Chaim Heritage, they didn't invent the concept of not how to speak Lashon Hara. It's like, what happened? So, you know, it's interesting. I think societally, I think the best mashal to it is, like, it's the kind of the same thing that is probably, I think, not as true for women, but certainly in yeshivas for men, like, we stopped learning Navi. Stop learning Navi. So why did people, where did Navi get dropped off the curriculum? Right? The last time we checked, it's part of the, so remember, like so many things, it's reactionary. So when the Haskalah movement started, so the Haskalah movement put an incredible emphasis on Nach, Nevi'im and Ksuvim, to the exclusion of Torah. To the exclusion of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, of Mishnah, of Gemara. So how did the Torah community respond? The Torah community responded by going in the other direction. Oh, you're going to put emphasis on Nach, right? We're going to show you what the emphasis is on. The emphasis is going to be on Gemara, is going to be on Mishnah, is going to be on Chumash. So neither approach totally makes sense. But, So I think it's the same thing, that certain streams within Judaism kind of focused much more on tikkun olam. Right? If you say tikkun olam, no one associates that today with Torah Judaism. Right? Tikkun olam, that's the conservatives do tikkun olam, the reform do tikkun olam. Guess what? The conservative movement didn't invent tikkun olam, neither did the reform. Tikkun olam just happens to be a Mishnah in Avos. Right? Ashlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omeid. Right? Gemilos Chasodim is tikkun olam. That's as much part of us as well. But what happens? Again, it becomes a little bit reactionary. So what's fascinating over here is David HaMelech is trying to tell us, in Judaism, you have to have the whole package, right? You can't take one from column A and another from column B. I'm going to skip C and I'll go a little bit in D. You have to have the whole package. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be perfect, but there's no such thing as a person saying, this is more important, this is less important. You want a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God demands that for us to excel in Ben Adam Lamakom as much as He expects us to excel in Ben Adam Lachavero. If I'm deficient in either of those areas, that will handicap my ability to forge a meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what David HaMelech is saying. You have to be good in your Ben Adam Lamakom, and if you are coming with Ben Adam Lechavero baggage, and remember, you can imagine, David HaMelech is wagging his finger at his nation, because he's talking to them. You are all deficient in Ben Adam Lechavero, so of course you're not going to feel God. Of course you're not going to have a good relationship. If you come show up to Beis HaMikdash or Mishkan with this type of baggage, relationship is not going anywhere. Okay, so that's our third approach. So let's just review what we have over here for just a moment. So in trying to understand the phrase of Lo Ragal Lashono, we have the Radak, who understands Lo Ragal Lashono really is an expansive phrase. is an expansive phrase that just speaks about negative use of one's lashon. We have the Ibn Ezra, who understands that it's revealing of secrets. We have the Malbim, the Gemara, and Rav Hirsch, who really understand that it's negative speech in order to go ahead and push down another. Because ultimately, I know that I have my frailties, I know that I have my sources of, or my feelings of jealousy, or my feelings of, what's the word, when you don't measure up to someone else, inferiority. There's another word. Inferiority. Okay, yeah, I have my feelings of inferiority, so it's only natural. It's too hard to build myself up, so I'm going to knock everyone else down. So says the Malbim, says the Gemara, says Rav Hirsch, don't do that. Because maybe you'll feel better about yourself for a couple of seconds, but the truth is, we also know if you ever do that, you really don't feel better about yourself in the long run. But more importantly, knocking down someone else, walking around life or going through life with relationship baggage will ultimately hinder and handicap your ability to forge a meaningful relationship with God. Yes? I don't know if they actually read it themselves, but we'd have to imagine that it doesn't necessarily mean that he gave it to them in this form, but as the king, he gave over these lessons to them in some form. He may have taken all of those particular lessons and then codified them later on in the beautiful, you know, poetry of Tehillim. So whether he gave it to them like this, or he gave it to them just as a shir, as a musr shmuz, I don't know. The good thing about being king is that when you tell people to come, all right, there's not that much of a choice. Did they internalize it? Did it this? You know, look, the truth is, the history of the Jewish people is always peaks and valleys. There are times when we have it together, times when we don't have it together. It would appear that certainly in the realm of interpersonal conduct, those peaks and valleys are much sharper and much more acute. Were they receptive to David HaMelech's words? Well, it would seem the answer would be yes, because ultimately Shlomo HaMelech there was a golden age for the Jewish people. Under Shlomo HaMelech, the people were successful. They were one of the dominant world powers. So it would appear that somehow they got it together. All right, this brings us to our last approach. So take a look. It's actually quite interesting. Take a look at number 7. So there is a very interesting Gemara over here. Remember, we've been quoting from this same Gemara Maseches Makos each week, where the Gemara goes through each of these things line by line, each of these attributes line by line, and gives us examples of certain people that would personify these ideals. So, look at number 7. So the Gemara says, Lo ragal lashono. What does it mean? Someone, I will call it, doesn't slander or hergil. Ze Yaakov Avinu. So this is quite intriguing. What's an example of someone, Lo ragal alishono, who never bore slander on his tongue, who never spoke negatively, who never lied? Ze Yaakov Avinu. Dichsiv, ulai yimushini avi, v'hayisi be'enov kimisaseya. So ultimately, so says the Gemara, why? So the Gemara is actually referring to in number 9 over here, where Rivka hears that Yitzchak Avinu is about to give the bracha to Esav. So she goes and she tells Yaakov quickly, right, go get shtei gedei zim, go bring me animals, I'll prepare matana, I'll prepare delicacies for your father, I'm going to dress you up like your brother, and you're going to go ahead and you're going to get the brachas. Besides the fact that the story is one of the strangest stories that we have, the notion of stealing brachos, the notion of not confronting people, you know, straight out, but we'll say that for a different shir. But the idea, says the Gemara, is that if you want the paradigm of Lo Ragal Alishono, it's Yaakov Avinu, because what did he say when his mother told him about this whole plan? I can't do it, because why? Maybe my father, Yimushin, maybe my father will feel me, V'hayisi Be'enov Kimitateo, and ultimately I will be in his eyes like a deceiver. Take a look at number 8 for just a moment. Rashi on the Gemara says, Lo ragal lishono, lo rotza lishaker mitrilo. Yaakov Avinu didn't want to lie. He didn't want to lie. Sha'amar ulai musheni avi, ela she'imo hichrichaso. Ultimately, his mother forced him, so to speak, meaning his mother prevailed upon him that he has to do this. And ultimately, he listened to his mother. He listened to his mother. So, what's strange about this? Right, so first of all, if you want to bring an example of someone lo ragala lishono, who never abused his speech. I don't know if Yaakov Avinu is the best example. I mean, at the end of the day, did Yaakov lie to his father? You know, the Rashi brings down in the pasuk that when Yitzchak asks Yaakov, who is it? So Yaakov says, Ani Esav v'chorecha. So Rashi says that the way it's supposed to be read is Ani, like semicolon, or comma, Esav v'chorecha, me, Ami. Esav is your son. Did Yaakov Avinu deceive his father? Yes. Yes. And you're a good Jew if you say it, and it doesn't diminish the holiness of Yaakov Avinu at all. Yaakov Avinu listened to his mother. That's what he did. Rivka Imenu said, I take responsibility. Why does Rivka have to take responsibility if nothing wrong is being done? The answer is because something wrong is being done. Remember, Chazal speak about this idea. Do you think it's an accident that everything that Yaakov Avinu did to his father was done to him through Yosef? Right? Yaakov Avinu dresses up, puts on skins, right, to look like his brother. And what do the brothers do to Yaakov Avinu? Hakisonet bincha. They bring before the coat, right? So there's a lot to talk about there. There's a lot to discuss. But the point is, it's not, this episode over here is not the paradigm of honesty. It's not. He lied, he didn't lie, he deceived, a little bit of, it's not the paradigm of honesty. So it is fascinating that when the Gemara wants to bring an example of Lo Ragala Lishono, it says Yaakov Avinu. So if you look at number 10, the Aruch Lener, who we quoted last week as well, the Aruch Lener in his commentary on this Gemara has a fascinating insight. He says, B'Gemara, Ulayi Musheni Avi, Ayin Berivanu Marsha, Shetirchu Leva'er, Eich Shayich Zeh Lelo Ragala Lishono. So the Aruch Lener says that the commentaries ask, I don't understand. What do you mean, Lo Ragala Lishono? He lied to his father. Ula ani azdaiti, yesh lomar demefarish hakosov kach, shemisha rogil bilishono ledaber sheker v'kosov, yochol lehisnakir achlo nikar v'kal im diber sheker o emes. Ava misha ein rogil v'kach, azayni karim divrei sheker etzlo, al yidei shemedaber pamko, shukito bederach lo yodum esor. So listen to this. So the Aruch Lener says something amazing. He says, you know, when someone is a habitual liar, so something amazing happens. What occurs?
They lie without thinking.
They actually become very good at it, right? To the point that you actually can't tell if the person is telling the truth or the person is lying. But if a person is an honest individual, then when they have to lie, when they have to bend the truth, when they have to do something that appears deceptive in nature, what happens? They're not good. They're not good at it. They're not good at it. They can't get it out. The story changes. The facts don't line up. They stutter. They stammer. They hem and they haw. So says the Aruch Lener, that's what's happening over here. This is quite a fascinating idea. What is lo ragal? You see, we translated ragal before as regular, like miraglim. What else could ragal mean? Ragil. Ragil. Habitual. Lo ragal alishono, says the Aruch Lener, ultimately means what? That a person is not a habitual liar. So you'll say to yourself, well, what kind of aspiration is that? I only lie on Mondays, Wednesdays, and alternate Fridays. You know, but the rest of the time, so I'm not a habitual liar. So what does that mean, lo ragal? So look at number 11. And I have to thank Mrs. Schnidman for forwarding me, or Rabbi Schnidman for forwarding me this link. This is from the Sefer Tal Leoros. So this was Rabbi Schnidman's grandfather? Rabbi Schnidman's grandfather, Rabbi Resnick. So, a beautiful perish on Tehillim. See, right over here, the following idea. Look at this. Lo ragala lishono. He says, by the way, before we go on, that's what Yaakov Avinu was saying to his mother. Yaakov Avinu said, v'hayisi be'enav kimitateya, I'm an ishtam. I'm Yoshev O'alim. I'm not a deceiver. I'm not good at this. In fact, actually, the Ben Yehoyada says that Yaakov Avinu was shaky. Because what does it mean? Ulai Musheni of me. My father will touch me. Rivka already took care of that. She said to Yaakov, you're going to wear the clothing of Esav. So the Ben Yehoyada says that Yaakov Avinu said to his mother, I'm shaking uncontrollably. The clothing is going to fall off me. Right? The skins are going to fall off me. My father's going to touch me. He's going to touch my bare skin. So that's Yaakov. Mom, I can't pull it off. I can't pull this off, says the Gemara. Lo ragala lishono. What is an example of someone who is so unhabituated to lying? Of someone who, for them, it's so out of character? Yaakov Avinu. But watch this. So look at number 11. Lo ragala lishono. Ulam, bichol zeh. Listen to this. So the Tali Oros writes that, you know what, in life, sometimes you are obligated to bend the truth. Sometimes you are. He says, Lemoshal, for example, Ploni Mispakesh Benafshecha Lahargecha, O La'asos Lecha Ra, Hizoher Mipanof. So for example, let's say I know that someone wants to do you wrong. I know it doesn't have to be as extreme as killing someone, but I know that someone has it in for you. But I can't tell you Lashon Hara. So you know what we call it in Halacha? Right? We call it a Chassid Shota. Right? We call it a pious fool. If I know that someone's going to harm someone else, of course I have to tell you about that person's intentions. Right? They can't just say, it's Lashon Hara, I can't spill the... I have to tell the person. So tell you what's right, that there are times when what? You have to go ahead and say something negative about someone else for the benefit of a third party. He says, "Ba'ofen kazeh mitzvah leilech rachil." In that type of situation where someone else wants to harm another individual, it's a mitzvah for me to tell the intended recipient of the harm, "Watch yourself." He says, "Va'bardas hatom im elokav va'shel mitzvah b'ritzono hu holich ba'ofen kazeh a masay lo rogel alishono." Be'ez shelo asa l'reihu ra'ah, be'ez sheyishtok mirachil, v'gam lo nasa al kravo, v'if ish defa. So listen to this. Says the Torah something amazing. That you have to read the pasuk as a progression. Lo ragal alishono. A person doesn't speak negatively when l'reihu lo asa l'reihu cherpa. When do I hold my tongue? When by holding my tongue, it won't adversely affect someone else. Or, lo nasa akrov cherpa, lo nasa akrovo. When it won't put another person at a disadvantage. But when I have information that if I don't share it with someone, will put another individual at a disadvantage, then what's my obligation? Right? I have to share it. So Tanli Oro says, really continuing the theme of the Aruch Laner, lo ragal alushono means that a person is not habituated to speaking negatively. But you know what? There are times in life when you have to go ahead and speak ill, when you have to speak negative, when you have to share things that are negative about another individual for the benefit of a third party. So why is this important? Because I think, and with this we'll conclude, I think that this is not just the din in Lashon Hara or in speaking negatively. So just to bring it back to Yaakov Avinu, so therefore when the Gemara says over here the following idea, the Gemara says, Lo ragal lashono zeh Yaakov Avinu, what the Gemara is saying is like this, that Yaakov Avinu was not someone who was habituated to doing things that seemed deceptive. He was an honest and upright individual. So David HaMelech is saying, but there are times in life when what? There are times in life in what? You know, this is one of the most difficult situations in life. There are times in life where we have to do things that make us uncomfortable because it's the right thing to do. And we have to do things in life that might even seem a little bit wrong, but they're absolutely necessary for the greater good. And amazingly enough, David HaMelech himself espoused this idea. Look at number 12. David HaMelech says in Tehillim Kuf Yutes, I'm not even going to venture when we're going to get to Tehillim Kuf Yutes, but he says like this, he says, Eis la'asos la'Hashem hefaru sarasecha. Now, the way we literally translate that pasuk is, there is a time to do for God, they have made void your Torah. See, interestingly enough, the Gemara in Maseches Brachos number 13 actually brings very inyan d'yoma. The Gemara quotes an interesting episode. In Perek Beis of Megillas Rus, so Boaz comes back to his field, right? This is when Rus just happened to come upon his field. Boaz comes back, and he says to the workers, Yivarechecha Hashem. Let's say he quotes over here, God is with you. So it's very strange. It's very strange. Why is it strange? Because before Boaz, no one ever greeted each other with the name of God. Right? It makes sense. You don't greet people with the name of God. Why? Why? Because it's too mundane of a use of God's name. Right? Now see, we're not used to it because we say Shalom Aleichem. Shalom is actually one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But where do we get that from? We got that from Boaz. Boaz is the one who innovated this idea of greeting people with the name of God. So the Gemara says, Boaz, how can you do that? How can you use the name of God in such a mundane fashion? So the Gemara answers something amazing. And they respond to him, Vayomru lo yivarechecha Hashem. So he greets them with the name of God. They respond. So the Gemara goes on to say, how could he do it? The Malbim on Megillas actually explains this. He says that Boaz was living in a time where there was a real lack of spirituality. The people really were spiritually corrupted. It was not a good. It also happens to figure into one of the reasons why Elimelech left Eretz Yisrael in the middle of famine to begin with. He felt that people would ransack his storehouses. There were no midos. There was not a good relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Boaz, remember, the Gemara identifies him as Iftson. He's the shofet. He has an obligation to restore the spiritual equilibrium of the people. So how does he do that? How does he do that? It's an amazing idea. Such an incredible idea. What does he do? What does he do? He makes God part of the vernacular. He makes God, he brings God into everyday discussion, into everyday greetings. When you bring God into everyday greetings, what do? You create a God awareness. God awareness, Shavis Hashem Lenegdi Samid, is the most basic building block of the man-God relationship. He creates a God awareness among the general populace by a simple thing, like using the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a greeting. So the Gemara says, but Boaz, how could you? To which, by the way, the irony of irony is, how do we justify Boaz's behavior? By quoting a pasuk from his great-grandson. Right? This is what David HaMelech meant when he said, Eis lasos la'ashem hifaru sorosecha. As strange as it sounds, sometimes you have to annul the Torah in order to sustain it. Sometimes you have to annul the very precept of the Torah Kedosha in order to ensure its continuity. Now, annul is a strong word, but sometimes you have to go ahead and do something that may look even a little bit inappropriate for the sake of greater preservation. And by the way, we could do a whole sheer jest on this, because there are so many. Esther HaMalka is one of the most incredible examples of this, of things that otherwise would be usher, but were necessary for some kind of greater good. We have multiple examples of this. Now again, don't try this at home, right? Meaning don't go and say, I think for the greater good of the Jewish people and for myself, I'm going to... No, we don't have the right to go ahead and make those types of decisions. But such a calculation does exist within Judaism, that sometimes we have to take a step back. We have to do something that looks wrong, that looks inappropriate, and may actually be inappropriate for the sake of securing our future. So why is this all? Because we're going to bring this all together. Lo ragala l'shono, zeo Yaakov. What is David HaMelech saying? I wish I could tell you that you never have to speak ill. I wish I could tell you that you never have to put yourself in uncomfortable situations. And I wish I could, David HaMelech, I wish I could tell you that you never had to do something that would make you judaically uncomfortable. But you know what? That's not the way life works. Sometimes we have to do uncomfortable things for the greater good. So what's our aspiration? Lo ragal alishono. Don't become habituated to these type of behaviors. Don't become habituated to the negative things. Does life call upon us, sometimes often, to go out of our comfort zone for some type of greater good? It happens. Do we have to be ready to answer the call? Yes, with incredible Torah guidance. But people can't live with it. But don't become habituated. That's, oh gosh, no. Did Yaakov Avinu have to engage in this process? Did he have to? Yes. Was he comfortable with it? At the end of the day, do you think he ever felt it was correct? Probably not. I can't imagine. But amazingly enough, it doesn't erode his identity as the Isha Emes. It doesn't erode. Why? Because no one could get through life without having to do uncomfortable things for the greater good. The goal is that we realize that those are aberrations, that those are extreme situations that the circumstances called for, but there's no hergil. Those don't forge or form our personalities. Our personalities are still forged by the dominant bulk of our life activity. So lo ragal elishono, the goal in life is to recognize that yes, sometimes we have to do uncomfortable things for either greater personal good or greater national good, but the goal is to avoid hergel, that the dominant part of our personality should always fall within the confines of normative Torah, fall within the confines of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's basic expectations. All right, we'll stop over here. Yes, no, I'm late.